It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The power of the internet, the power of information, the power, and then it goes out and then, you know, you can't find it. Well, here on Declare Your Independence, we want to share some information with you, and I'm looking it up here. I just got this information, and here we go. I'm just going to read this straight to you. I just saw, we haven't even put it up yet. It's getting ready. We're doing some site stuff on Freedom's Phoenix right now. It might even be down or slow to respond. We're doing some upgrade stuff. And I'm like, not now, right before the, whatever. Anyway, so computer guys. Letitia, L-E-T-I-T-I-A, Letitia, I guess Long, takes helm of Pentagon Intelligence Agency. Okay, Ms. Long takes the helm of Pentagon Intelligence Agency. Yeah, whatever, right? That's what you're thinking, right? Yeah, so it's another one of them, right? Right. It's the head of the intelligence agency of the Pentagon. Okay, now who is this person? Stella Remington needn't worry about Letitia Long stealing her thunder. The former head of Britain's MI5 counter-subversion agency, now the successful author of 5 spy thrillers and a memoir, is nearly a household name in the United Kingdom. Not to mention many a bookstore here, but it will be a while before even Washington insiders know who Tish Long is, much less any other female at the top of a U.S. intelligence agency. That's because there aren't any others, although the senior intelligence ranks are positively crammed with them. Installed Monday as chief of the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, the people who try to make sense of what spy satellites see, Long is being billed as the only woman to ever head a major U.S. intelligence outfit, although ranking the NGA is equal to the CIA, FBI, DIA, or the eavesdropping. Code-breaking USA is a stretch. Women have also headed State Department Bureau of Intelligence. Okay, I'm. They're making it sound like she's from MI5, and I think. Okay, so what they're saying is that it's a female thing. So there, Stella Remington was a former head of Britain's MI5, and now author of 5 spy thrillers. Okay, so that's a comparison. It's a woman thing. I was like, seriously, we got MI5 now going in the Pentagon. I was like, you know, yeah, must share. Okay, let's see what she's going to be doing. The people who try to make sense of what spy satellites see, Long is being billed as the only woman to ever head a major U.S. intelligence outfit, although ranking the NGI, okay. Code breaking is a stretch. Women have also headed the State Department's Bureau of Intelligence Research, blah, blah, blah. The United Kingdom, meanwhile, has already had 2 women, so it's a women thing. Yeah, whatever. They're all bad guys. So we are, you know, in the end game here. I tell you one thing that I looked at. You know, I'll tell you when we come back, but it's the 30-year Treasury dropped to 3% from hovering around 4 for long. It's been as high as 15. You know, 30 years ago, the 30-year Treasury was going for 15% interest during the early Reagan years for them to finance all our debt and so on. They just put 15% on a Treasury bill to get people to loan money to us. Oh, and now it's down to 3? Why? Who would even do it for 3%? They trust the government that much? I don't know. We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone.
and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hello, 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 hello. So get right to this. The Treasury, 30-year Treasury yield is down to 3%. This is something that I've been keeping track of, and every now and then we'll talk about it here on the show, and I'll say, look, yeah, I'm keeping an eyeball on this one because I know what it means. There is a, let me go ahead and log in here. We were having problems with the site. Looks like it's back up. Yay! I go, put it up. I'm on the air, man. I got all kinds of goodies up there. Because you go to freedomsphoenix.com, freedomsphoenix.com. Well, a lot of people don't know, one of the powers of the site is when you log in, at the top of the horizontal navigation bar up there, it'll say join us. Or in yellow at the top there, it says sign up to receive the Freedom's Phoenix headlines by email. When you join in, you get a password, and that gives you a lot more abilities. I mean, you could be a reporter. You could just click be a reporter on a horizontal navigation bar. And I know a lot of you, I started mentioning this last week, and a lot of you started doing it. You know, from the audience, they're going, okay, I can do that. Boom, you start getting some cool stuff. I mean, you know, that's what it's for. This is an activist tool. You'll sit there, you know, a lot of times we'll be here at the office and at the workshop, and people all be on their laptops around and everything, you know, about later in the afternoon, it starts getting busy here, and everybody just coming in doing their thing. They got, you know, a hot spot here. They work downtown. It's just come hang out for a little bit, do some t-shirts. Like today, we'll be doing a bunch of t-shirts and so on for me going to Valley Forge, and we'll just, you know, have some fun. Ooh, our bumper stickers came in. Oh, they're very nice, very nice. They look like the top of the site, very colorful and so on. You know, we'll start putting those up on the site. You can get those, or, you know, you can email me, publisher@freedomsphoenix.com, and we'll send you some bumper stickers. With an envelope, send me some money. I send it to you. It's under the idea you're at least going to pay for my postage and the cost of the sticker. That's the deal, you know. Anyway, so what happens, they're here on their laptops, and they just come, oh, look at this. Oh, look at everybody crowds around, watch this YouTube. Oh, look at this article. Oh, I can't believe it. Okay. Wow, that's really cool. You should put it on Freedom's Phoenix so everybody can see it. Tens of thousands of people, you know, are on that all the time. So I'm going, this is an opportunity for you to click beer. You know, this is cool. I want people to, you see the cool stuff that's up there. Letters to the editor. You can write right, you know, whatever somebody put up there. Yeah, well, I say it's full of crap. Oh, speaking of which, Frosty Wooldridge is done with his bike ride across the country. So when he comes back, boom, we start getting flooded with more, you know, the immigrants are going to, you know, destroy the planet through environmentalism articles. It's good to see Frosty back, man. You know, Frosty, there he goes. Well, you know, it's amazing. You'll have some of the people on the site going, yay, Frosty, what he said. The other side is like going, oh, God, are you kidding me? I can't believe, you know, oh, heavens to Murgatroyd. Or and you go to the other side more, you know, like against SB 1070 because of the national ID and the paper please crap and everything in it. And you'll have some people who go, I don't want to get your newsletter anymore because I thought we were simpatico and we were eye to eye, but no, obviously not. Then you get, no, I'm not. And back and forth. And a lot of times they're not specific. You know, it'd be, I would say I probably get, it's amazing it's as few as it is. I bet you it's probably 5 a month. You know, I'll get an email from someone saying, you know, I thought you were a different side. I don't want to be on it anymore. And I'm like going, what issue and which side of that issue? How could I possibly tell what they were angry about? Which one? I mean, you know, which issue was it and which side of that issue? You know, and if I can't even freaking come up with a clue of what it was that they were upset about, is that good or bad? I don't know. But we just keep doing it and find interesting stuff. So the 30-year Treasury, the reason I mark this as a custom link for me, a quick link, and how I do that is when you log in, you join, you'll fill out all the stuff, and it just sends you an automatic password. You can change it later, but it's just a computer-generated password. So you put in your email, you put in the password, and at the top right, all of a sudden it turns into a dark square, a black square at the top right. Instead of seeing the first two stories on the right, you get your own custom module. As you go in there, and it says customize features, and you go in there, and you can create your own quick links. You know, I have a, I don't know, probably a couple dozen in here. So Freedom's Phoenix is like my homepage. I mean, I did it this way on purpose to be able to create a news portal that I can customize any way I want. I can find out and get, and you can even get it customized to the point where you select certain categories or topics. I go selected topics, I click on. When I go and set it up, I go 1 through 5 of the top stories in any of the 200 categories that we have will be at the top of the page over in this little module. I give you an example. I don't want to miss anything, you know, some development on space travel and so on. That's just the way I'm wired. I don't want to all of a sudden, like you guys find out there's 2 private space stations for the past 2 years up in orbit overhead right now, 130 miles higher than the International Space Station you never hear about. They don't even tell you. You know, how'd that slip by? My day is slipping. You know, I do my best to make sure they don't slip anything else by me, okay? So I'll pick certain categories that I put up there, like, you know, technology or techno gadgets or, you know, inventions or whatever. I mean, you know, may the automobile transportation, air transportation, the economy. I mean, you'll pick it up there. Boom, it's right there. So I don't miss it because a lot of stuff flows very quickly on Freedom's Phoenix. We get 50, 60, you know, entries a day. I mean, it's just, you know, rock and roll and whatnot, all important or interesting stuff. So this is the power that we have here. Well, one of the things that I keep track of is a good friend of mine said, you need to watch the 30-year Treasury bond. Why? He goes, because. All right. You know, that's good enough reason, I reckon. So I go in there, and you'll see, if you look at the max history, it goes back to almost like 77, something like that. So you have a 30-year trend of what it costs the United States government to borrow money. They go, they have treasuries, you know, that are 30 years, I guess 10, 5, whatever. The 30-year treasury yield. If I am a country that, you know, I see the United States government in recession, hyperinflation, things are going really bad in the late 70s, early 80s, and you go, wow, that's not looking good. And Ronnie Reagan gets up and he says, hey, you know, we're putting out the treasury. We need some money. We got to go fight the Cold War. We got to go, you know, SDI. We're going to put a boatload of money into missile defense. We're going to go in and we're going to create a shield for America, Star Wars. Well, that put all the chips on the table. They went and they said, all right, Russ, you want to play? You want to play? Let's play. And that was one of the things that broke them. You know, and of course, Afghanistan didn't help. So they were just going, you know, we're not going to be able to keep up in this arms race thing. We got to do something else. It doesn't matter their economy went because they were so directed towards military trying to keep up with the United States, and it just broke them. But it's the same thing happened to us. You know, it's almost like it's a plan. But anyway, so what happened was is the United States needed money. They're going in deficit. You know, Mr. Conservative Ronald Reagan, he was one of my favorites. I mean, he's probably my favorite. I really liked him. I really, really did. But as you look back in history, what laws were actually passed with the invention of the internet, you know, and see what the progression was, what really was going on, you know, he sacrificed everything to crush the communist because that was, has a whole nother story behind that. You know, he had a personal thing going on, but it was, he thought that was the best thing to do. While he's got George Bush as VP, next CIA, United Nations guy doing whatever he wants right underneath him. So, you know, it's just, So anyway, so all of a sudden it goes to 15%. 15%. It's at 3 now, okay? 3. No, it says 4 now. Let's go. It was 3 this morning. I looked at it. It said 3. And that freaked me out. Let's see. Did it change already? Take a looky-see. Yep, it's at 4. Was it at 3? Well, let's take a look. Let's go put a one-day thing here and see how low it went. Yeah, it went way down. This is what's happening. You have a 30-year that what they did is they go, we're going to give you 15% return on an investment in the United States debt. Where else are you going to get that? And who's guaranteeing it? I mean, it's the U.S. government. You know, even Freddie and Fannie was kind of pinky swear. You know, we think about it. We'll probably, you know, keep it good. There was no guarantee. It's just kind of implied. You know, then you have some others that will back this, and the FDIC only does so much and whatever. But no, 30 years, for 30 years, I can earn 15% on my investment buying U.S. debt. 15%. That's pretty good. So a whole bunch of people did. Well, guess what? That 30 years coming up, they're going to roll over that debt again? What happens with all? A lot of people did. Okay? Now what? It's 30 years later. Then what? What are they going to do with all that money? What, are they going to buy more debt at 3-4% return? I want 3-4%. That's half inflation, if that. Why would I do that? Oh, we're right near the edge. Here it comes.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters, the very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Are you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
Oh, let's see what the red dress is today. Oh, here we got. Rescuers arrived to help Alaska plane crash victims. An Alaska official says military rescuers have arrived at the scene of a plane crash in southwest Alaska. Authorities say the plane was carrying 9 people and that 5 are believed to be dead. Former Senator Ted Stevens and ex-NASA chief Sean O'Keefe were believed to be on board, but it was unclear if they were among the dead. All right, well, that's, you know, that's going to have some news. You know, here we have the 9 people, killing 5 on the board. Authorities said former Senator Ted Stevens, you know, well, we'll see. Ted Stevens, you know, Mr. Bridge Nowhere guy, right? And, you know, he's not going to be, well, we'll see. You know, was he going to spill his guts, you know, getting outed? He's like, okay, you want to play? Let's go. And all of a sudden he woke up dead. All right. You know, here comes the conspiracy theories, I'm sure. Well, you know, I want to go ahead and go over today. We're just going to go ahead and go over Freedom's Phoenix. And I want to show you how to use it. And we had talked about this before, but it's starting to really amp up. I'll give you an example. Yesterday we had the mayor of Quartzsite, Arizona, in for 2 hours. And, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't even know he was coming in. All of a sudden, I'm here setting up, and this guy walks in. Hey, I'm the mayor of Quartzsite. I'm supposed to be on your radio show. Okay. You know, how'd that happen? Nah, I don't even remember. But anyway, so we're going, all right. You know, I was going to do something else today, but, you know, this kind of dovetails into it. Because what I was doing is I'm thinking about, you know, what is a good project for us? I mean, we have a lot of capabilities here. I mean, we could put forth, if we wanted to run a campaign to win, we could give them a scare. We could make sure that, you know, for little city council district or something like that, we'd give them what for? I don't trust the system, though, but that's not the point. The point is that you're able to inject into the public discourse at a couple of months, and it starts after the primary season here, which is August. End of August, you know, end of this month, the primary will be over, and all of a sudden we get like 2 months of hard campaigning. Now, it used to be here in Arizona until just recently that the primary wasn't until the middle of September. You only had like 7-8 weeks of campaigning for the general. And for whatever reason, they thought it benefited them. And we're like, all right, fine. So that's just a concentrated amount of time that even more so that we can focus when people are paying attention. Because during that time, after you whittle down the 15 gazillion names on the ballot down to, you know, a relative handful, then all of a sudden people could go, okay, I'll give you my attention for a month. You know, and then the early ballot will start and I'll go ahead and whatever. So during that time is when we really feel we'll build up. We'll make a bunch of signs. We'll have all the DVDs ready. We'll get all of a sudden, then boom, all the forums, all of a sudden, we just saturate. You know, during that time. Now, of course, we build up, you know, different groups like young people, college, senior citizens out in winter visiting, all that kind of stuff. We'll pass out things and we'll get it all seated. But when it comes down to the actual voting, we're going to injection into the matrix. Oh, we know when. It's right after the primary. Well, you know, bad guys, they don't like that. You know, it's just they worked all this hard, very hard to get the actual nomination in their party for that position. Then all of a sudden, here come all these freedom activists, you know, outing them. And even when they get in, everybody that thought they supported them and that they win and they're in office, they already got a good base of criticism. Keep an eye on for stupid special interest stuff that they're expected to do and they do anyway. So you can see the power that we can have, and certainly on a local area. And the reason we talk about what we're doing here in Arizona so much is that it's so easily replicated. Just a few people. It's really not that. I mean, we, you know, a lot of people do stuff, and it inspires other people to do stuff, and we got new faces coming in all the time. Heck, I know. Infiltrators. You know, they'll be the, you know, the guy from the agency, De La, whatever. And I'm like, yep, that's the ones you get work the hardest. They always come early and they leave last. And they want to help you on your computer data entry. Yeah, that's a given right there. And then we're just going, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, everything's secured. They do it through Freedoms Phoenix. You go in from your own computer, you do it. I'm not entering anybody. You guys enter. You know, if you didn't, if I got to make you, I got to do it for you. And what's the point of doing it? So, you know, you put the stories up. You give us the leads. You send us the email. You make the call-ins. You know, this is where the power is. It's diversified. It's decentralized. They can't comprehend that. When you're out and we do First Fridays and Second Fridays and all these different art walks and these community and the tea parties and all that, it's like, boom, it's dominated with Freedoms Phoenix stuff. These guys were in Freedoms Phoenix shirts. They're passing out Freedoms Phoenix stuff. They got pamphlets, or it's all on point. You know, it's a new information that people didn't have. They're programming them into whatever, and they come to find out, and these guys know the truth. That's why we have that one logo. We know the truth. Well, they don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. That doesn't serve their interests, okay? Nope, 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 nope. So what do? Well, we do some butt whipping, and I'm gonna get in front of your computer if you got one available, and I'm gonna start showing you right now, right now, right now, right now. I'll walk you through it right now, not later, now, that we can do some butt whipping, because we're gonna start doing it here, and we're gonna share it with you so you can see exactly the impact it has. A few people, big impact.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
But there's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks. And it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got.
George Carlin.
Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The big, the wealthy, that the real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. They're irrelevant. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interest. That's right. You know something? They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table and figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 freaking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers, people who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly easier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back. So they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. And by the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich suckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all.
At all. George Carlin. This is was about 4 years ago. You know, it was into 2006. He really started going into it. I think he was seeing his health was waning. And he was getting ready to go. So he's like, I'm going to share. Well, I cleaned it up a little bit. You may kind of, you know, imagine that you heard something in there, but it's not. You know, I cut it out. But, you know, the message is still there. The message is that, you know, do you realize that this whole system is set up to take advantage of you, to fleece you, to create a society that at least, if not supports, allows their existence. They, them, those. You know, do I have to get specific about who they are? You know, there's all kinds of shades of they. You know, so well, this guy's worse than that. You know, there's those that just want to be left alone. Those won't leave him alone. See, all of a sudden, the mind fog just peels away when you can find that. You know, what do you do when you're out advocating for legislation? You know, I want to force people to what? You know, because that's the best way to do it. You know, we'd all be better if we did, you know, made people do what I want them to do. If you're a make people do anything person, then you're just part of the problem. So that's one thing I'm interested. Tomorrow I leave to go to Valley Forge. It's an event that's being put on by Freedom Action National Conference. And Tom DeWeese is one concentrating on this. And he'll have a lot of people that I know, you know, be speaking there. He's got Michael Badnarik will, you know, keynote it, you know, get him going. Sheriff Mack. You know, they have a lot of representatives and so on, including from Oklahoma State Representative Charles Key. And you have National Rights Committee President, you know, Mark Mick, Gunners of America, Larry Pratt. I know Larry. We have, you know, on and on and on and on. You know, George Shepard and Gary Franchi. You know, we have Sam Bushman that owns a radio network. And we got, you know, and then, of course, Agenda 21 experts. So this is, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we're going to lose our sovereignty and here comes the United Nations and they're going to go global currency and they're going to, you know, and I'm health freedom expert Jane Orient. She's from Tucson. Jane Orient is head of the American Association for Physicians and Surgeons. I think that's what it is, something like that. And it's all, they're the ones that sued the Clinton administration when they were trying to do national health care, kind of secret, kind of Obamacare thing back then. You know what's interesting? It's amazing. You know, I'm not that old. I mean, I've just been paying attention for a while. 49, you know, and I remember in the Clinton administration with the AAPS, sued for them having these non-open meetings, you know, they're kind of on the public's dime. They have all these industry in there. They're writing the socialized medicine legislation. This has been on top of their list for a long time. So when they did that, you know, they got sued and they had to, you know, who are the people there and who's paying for what and this. And finally, it just went away because they had a Republican Congress. Well, now they got a Democrat Congress and Senate and Democratic Republican Party and Obama in there, and they did get it passed. But what Obamacare was, what it passed, I remember a lot of the provisions and things, it was the Republican version, what they were offering back in the Clinton years. The Republicans had their plan. Oh, no. If you're going to do national, you can't do it that way. You should do it this way. No. We want everything. Well, this Obamacare, it's what the Republicans wanted. I mean, a lot of the ways that they wanted to pay for, a lot of the ways, things that they wanted to offer, a lot of the pay. And I'm going, so, you know, it's just a game they're playing. They get what they want. So while we're there, I think the focus is going to be is that, you know, we can take, you know, the fight back. The 10th Amendment movement is catching fire. State legislators are finding ways to add teeth to law rather than mere resolutions. Yada, 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 yada. I've seen this before. There was a big effort back in 93, 94, around there. It was called the Refounding Amendment. And it was an amendment to the United States Constitution that whenever it had a bunch of criteria, state legislatures convened and did, you know, yada, yada, yada. Under certain conditions, they did a reset on the Constitution. It wiped out all the laws, and it went right back to the original Bill of Rights plus a couple others, like women get the vote and the slavery or something. It was just a bunch of it. It refounded it. It went the entire country just, we're going to reset it. We'll try it again. You know, I know it got us to here, but, you know, if it didn't cause the problems, it sure as heck didn't prevent it, but we're going to do it again. It's called the Refounding Amendment. Well, it was good education. It was good fun. And the people behind it, they were good people. But I saw it for what it's redoing the same thing. Yeah, I know all these problems. Well, how is it that you know, I can't believe that they would allow the United States to enter into a treaty with the United Nations and other countries that would, you know, blah, 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 blah. It never even dawns on them that the fact that we're under this central authority, this U.S. constitutional government, Washington, that we have even ceded to them the ability to make a treaty in our name that I'm supposed to be, you know, bound by. All this food stuff that's coming, all this trade stuff, all the most essential things. I mean, you know, like defending your life, you know, gun laws at a global level, you know, small arm treaties and all this other stuff. I'm like, whoa, man. You know, the delegation of this authority to some shiny tie in Washington or shiny ties or a bunch of shiny ties or, heck, the entire freaking planet except me, you know, they all vote against unanimous decision of the planet against me. That is that it? That's what makes right? That's what does it? You got a number? Is there a certain quantity of people that need to say something that then it's okay to take my stuff? Is that it? Is it a piece of paper? Is it a shiny embossed seal? Huh? On a clipboard? Delivered by a guy with a uniform? Nice little cards on his shoulders? You know, shiny badge? The always available gun. There's always a gun involved. I mean, regardless whether the guy standing there's got a gun or there's a guy behind him's got one. Okay? Guns. You have a gun because it takes force. You can't just persuade. That's free market. That's Yellow Pages. You know what? It would be good if you subscribe to this fire service. You want firemans? Yep, we got the firemans. The fireman's going to come. You know, if you want firemen to take care of you when your house is on fire, that's the way, Ben Franklin, that's the way it used to be. You used to have these medallions that were nailed onto your door. And then it used to be you'd subscribe to more than one fire service. Okay? It was a subscription. It was like insurance. And whoever got there first, you know, got the money or the deductible or the reward. So that's why they were racing. You had competing fire engines racing to get to your house to be the first one to start water on it. Then they got the gig. Free market solutions, but it was a very popular service. So what do? Well, we got to make it in government then. We got this very popular service of putting out fires. We must make it a government thing so people think positively and popularly of government. They provide the firemen. Right? That makes them good, right? Well, firemen's probably the best government service I can think of. You know, the firemen bring the water, the truck, the rescue, the ambulance. You know, they only come when I call them. You know, they don't carry guns. They're not writing me tickets. They're not costing me money. You know, they're a service that, you know, they come save me. I feel all warm and fuzzy about that. I'm like, you know, if all government was like that, I'd be on my couch drinking beer, watching TV. I'm not bothering anybody. But that's the front they put up. Well, you don't want to lose the firemen, so you got to take all this 50% of your income going to them for firemen. Yeah, that's, you know, it's a package deal. and can I say, you know what? I'll take care of it myself. You know, I'll put a hydrant out front. I'll put on my sprinkler system. I get a robot. I get a fireman robot. Ooh, what happens then? Tell me this. I just thought of this. You buy a new home. Now here in the Valley, they have, especially in Scottsdale, they had a big thing. Everybody has to have a sprinkler system in their house. You build a new house, sprinkler system, fire suppression, small, I mean, that was a big deal. Because Scottsdale did not have a fire company. I mean, they didn't have a municipal fire department. It was called Rural Metro. Rural Metro for decades here in Arizona. When you moved out, and a lot of people, because the valley is growing quickly and so on, Rural Metro, they had these lime green yucky trucks. But, you know, they were a full-fledged, you know, fireman service. You know, paramedics, the whole spiel. And you subscribed to them. You know, this went on until just a few years ago. You subscribed to them. You know, they may still have them. You know, let me take a look at that. Because what happened to Rural Metro was it was a pain in the butt for government, because it was an example. It was just an example saying, you know, this is what you can do. Okay, let's go. Rural Metro Corporation, 50 years of serving others. Well, okay, so they're still here. Let's go. Rural Metro Corporation is a leading provider of emergency and non-emergency medical transportation services, fire protection, and other safety-related services to municipal, residential, commercial, and industrial customers in approximately 400 communities throughout the United States. We believe in establishing integrated partnerships as well as efficient customer service with the understanding that community health and safety are at the core of what we do. Long-term stability, innovation, and flexibility, the heart of Rural Metro's mission. Our position is one of trust and blah, blah, blah. Today, Rural Metro's employees draw from more than 50 years of experience bringing the highest talents of patient care and public safety to our customers. We look ahead with the knowledge that is gained from the experience. We continue to build long-term value of all our stakeholders, yada, yada, yada. Mission statement. So let's see how this thing works. Provides the most efficient levels of health and safety possible, makes you yada, yada, yada. This is what it does. Rural Metro is, say you're a small community, a growing, bustling community of, a bedroom community that serves some big metropolis, and got a fire department. What happens when it's on fire? Well, you can contract with Rural Metro or a company like it, and you say, you know what? We will pay you a contract of blank for you to come do, then you're not paying for all the trucks and the firehouses and this and that and so on. And they'll go in a strip center and get a bay door for their fire truck, and they'll go get and whatever. I mean, it's a free market solution instead of spending tens of millions of dollars on getting these Taj Mahal fire department stations that they got here. I mean, dang, they are amazing, because politicians want the firemen's endorsement, certainly on a municipal level. Why? Because the firemen union, they'll go to their guys and they say, all right, we endorse this guy, and that means signs. Who puts up all those signs? Who takes down all those signs? What happens to the coroplast and the plywood and so on? Where do they store the post? Who does that? Well, here in the Valley, in a lot of places, it's the firemen, because they're on see, how does it work? They're on 24 off 48 or something like that, or on 48 off 72. You know, it's different, a different thing. You just, you know, stay there waiting for the bell to ring. Now you're lifting weights, you know, you're surfing the internet, you're doing your work, you're cleaning equipment, you're, you know, doing your more training, whatever. I mean, I want you, if you're a fireman, you're going to haul my lard butt off the top of the rooftop kind of thing, you better be lifting, man. You know, you get out there and do it, what for? I want you to be, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, whatever, go for it. Get all kinds of big, all pecked up. But, you know, when it's time for you to come save my sore butt, you know, that's good. That's what the pinky swear promise you've had, that you're going to come and take care of me. So I'm going, all right, that's good. But what if you can't afford that? What if you are a small community that's just started? You know, you're just getting big. Are you going to have a $40 million, you know, fire department thing? You can contract it out. Well, then people in unincorporated areas and entire cities were doing this. They didn't have a municipal fire department and had all these employees that weren't union. Oh, unions couldn't have that. What are they going to do about it? Oh, free market was doing too good. Had to be targeted. Tell you about that when we come back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, hit me with your best shot. You know, here's there's so many things to go over. It kind of they all make the point, and I'll dovetail them all in together because I can. I got skills. The Rural Metro story is very interesting because it's based here out of Arizona, so we have experience with it. When you had Sun City, Del Webb built Sun City, the senior citizen retirement communities around here. That Sun City's still not incorporated as a town. They're out in the county, and that's why they have the Sun City Posse, the Sheriff's Posse, because what they did is they become, you know, kind of watchers. They go out, and, you know, if anything's going on, they just call the sheriff. They didn't need anything. We got the sheriff department out there. They cover the county. It's all good. You know, we'll let you know if we need you. You know, they're going in their little golf carts or in their cars, and they go patrolling, and they keep an eye on things and so on. It's taken care of for decades. You know, what about fire? Well, they contract with Rural Metro. You know, they do their thing. Or maybe you can even contract with one of the nearby cities. Well, it kept progressing. You know, there's different things. What was the big problem is that Rural Metro was not unionized. Well, here you got, you know, firemen and paramedics. They're not making the $50 gazillion a year like the unions got for themselves with the municipalities, because what they did is they started to combine the cities into unions that covered the state, or certainly the valley here. So the Phoenix Union fire department guys or so on, they want this city to come in with them, and this, and they kept doing just like they're doing with the service industry now, you know, the guys got Obama in. So I'm going, all right, I could see what was happening. How they did this is that they were supportive. I saw it happen over 20 years. They were supportive of city council people that were running for office based solely on how much more do we get for the firemen. We want an 8% increase every year. We want this. We want four more here. We want that. It's just, if you don't pass the food tax, we'll have to fire firemen. I mean, you know, it's constantly that. And then they have this over $1 billion they have for this little tramway sky car thing that goes from the light rail system they spent billions of dollars on here in Phoenix, and then it went by Sky Harbor Airport but didn't go into the airport. And we're all going, oh, we already know where this goes. You know, of course, everybody's going to be screaming, how come it doesn't go into the airport? Oh, I'm sorry. That's an accessory. That's another $1 billion you want to go in. Oh, and it has to go over high enough instead of going under. I'm not even sure why they did this. It goes over high enough for, you know, jet airplanes that can fly, taxi underneath it. I'm like, what was the reasoning for that? I mean, is it, you know, it looks cool in a postcard or something? I mean, what? Seriously? So I'm just boggled, and they stopped building it until they passed a food tax here. Now, of course, they were threatening they're going to do away with the police and firemen if they didn't get the food tax passed. Here in Phoenix, you know, they wanted to increase. I don't even think they had a food tax. As a matter of fact, I think certain taxes on certain staples and so on, they didn't have. Got to have a food tax. I mean, 10%. No, 2%. They wound up before or something. I don't even pay attention anymore. It's just such a game that they play. Well, who supports these city councilmen to get reelected doing this kind of stuff? Well, it's the unions. It's the municipal employees. It's looking out for them. Even though they kill the golden goose, they'll drive it into the ground. We have the police and fire unions. Well, because firemen, they're on for a day or two, and then off for 2 or 3 days. You know, that's the way their schedule. They live there at the, you know, they bunk there and do their call. Then they take off. They get a lot of free time on their hands, you know, for putting signs up. I've seen cabins that the firemen, you know, back in the early 90s, the entire thing was built from plywood from old political signs because they put them up and they take them down. That's what the endorsement is worth. That's worth an enormous amount of money. Good, nice, strong guys out there pounding fence posts. Well, how are they doing it competing against the free market? They got to use force. Rural Metro, you know, all over the country. When we come back, I'll tell you some of the stories, how this works, because then we'll get back into the mayor of Quartzsite interview yesterday. It made my point about everything.